Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, that's right. It is Dom time. One of the stories this week that you got to scratch your head. The Postal Service now out there. There's a 1,000-mile route. They don't like it due to federal regs or something, which they're part of. Don't tell me the post office is private. Please stop saying that. Stop with the technicalities. Some route from Dallas to somewhere, a 1,000-mile route, you have to switch out drivers. So they are now testing the driverless postal truck delivering the mail. So yesterday, I guess it was yesterday, these booking services made me aware of an attorney who delves into this stuff. Quentin Brogdon is an attorney at the law firm of Crane, Lewis, and Brogdon. Wrote a very provocative piece: when an autonomous vehicle crashes, who pays for the damages? And in here he says, listen to this, as far back as 1958, brochures for Chrysler Imperials trumpeted autopilot, describing an amazing new device that helps you maintain constant speed and warns you of excessive speed. That year, an article in Popular Science opined, like it or not, the robots are slowly taking over a driver's chores. Anti-lock brakes have been available since the 1970s. Electronic stability control, a system that uses data from multiple sources to selectively apply the brakes on specific wheels of a vehicle to increase control in turns, has been available since the 1990s. In many vehicles today, driver assist systems automatically apply a vehicle's brakes to avoid a collision if the vehicle system determines there's an immediate risk of collision with another vehicle. And automated parallel parking systems take control of a vehicle as it is parked. You know, I saw one of them demonstrated. We did this across the country tour, and we used to do that in the summer. And we went to the Ford plant because they didn't accept the stimulus money in the Midwest, and they were demonstrating them. I guess they were just out around that time. Not a fan of that either. If you can't park your own car, if you're too lazy to do that, I could just see the guy that I think has to use this. Probably got Velcro on, doesn't tie his shoelaces. I don't know if I've ever had a producer that wore Velcro. That might be worse than the flip-flop. The flip-flop is just, you don't care. The Velcro is, you're just out. That's it. All right, attorney Quentin Brogdon is joining us here on the Dom Giordano program to break all this down. Quentin, welcome to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us. Where are you located? Hey.
Good morning, Dom. I'm in Dallas. We've got a muggy day here today. I don't know what your weather looks like. And for the record, I do not wear Velcro shoes.
Okay. Are you one of those white? You know, where did that ever come from? The white shoe lawyer firms. Lawyers used to really wear that many white shoes?
I guess so. I haven't seen white shoes in a while.
I know, but you hear that all the time, you know, that they're going to put them in a white shoe lawyer firm that's old money or something. But you're on the front lines of this whole thing. I'm fascinated by this because it seems to me these people think we're in the age of the Jetsons already, and there's going to be consequence for this.
As you point out, Dom, as your astute writer points out, that would be me. The automation of our automobiles has been going on a lot longer than most of us realize. And it's not that the age of so-called AVs, autonomous vehicles, is coming or on the way. It's here,
mm-hmm.
whether we like it or not. And many, including myself, we would argue that we're rushing into this without fully perhaps understanding all the ramifications of it. The idea is these are going to be safer. You know, over 90% of automobile accidents are caused by human error, and the theory, at least, is once you have robots making decisions, robots don't get tired, they don't get intoxicated, but we're introducing new errors into the system. These systems have failed, particularly involving Tesla, been a series of spectacular Tesla crashes, and so we're transitioning right now, and we're really in a partially autonomous phase. And I, for one, you know, some people are going to die who would not otherwise die as we perfect these systems. If I'm next to a big 18-wheeler that the U.S. Postal Service is testing on the road, I don't want to take one for the team.
No.
As, you know, the beta version of it is being, you know, the debug. So it's a concern.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just the idea of the driverless truck coming down the highways, what could go wrong? Now, in here, in your line of work, too, is the idea of you have various people saying that products liabilities laws, I guess, has to adapt to this. Others are saying they seem to want this so much that I get a feeling that they're willing to throw away some of these protections. There's kind of a back and forth over this.
There's a debate in legal circles right now about how exactly we should deal with this, whether it should all be federalized, namely, you know, in every all of the 50 states, one set of rules. Many, including, again, myself, would argue that that throws out the baby with the bathwater. We'd be giving up rights, including jury trials in some circumstances. And our existing system has adapted to airplanes and all kinds of new technologies over the years. So the idea we just need to throw all of that out, I think, is misguided.
Well, absolutely. And I'm trying to think, now you're this day to day. My theory is, look, for some people that are disabled, sights, things like that, I get it. They want independence. I see limited usages there. But what's driving this, though? Is it just the automobile manufacturers wanting some new thing? Are there people really that just want this because they think, they're lazy, they don't want to be thinking about driving, and they think the computer is superior? What's driving it?
Well, I think there are, you know, well-intentioned folks who rightly point out that, you know, if you're blind or drunk or you can't necessarily access an Uber, it would be, you know, a great theoretical world if you could just jump in a car and it would safely drive you from point A to point B. So there are well-intentioned folks, and the government has put it the full weight, on their websites and elsewhere. The government says, you know, this age is coming, and basically we bless it. But what is really driving it is profits, particularly in this trucking thing. Trucking is a $700 billion industry, and a third of those costs are spent on compensating drivers, and there's a huge shortage of truck drivers right now. So if we can use autonomous trucks, we can save money, we can address the shortage if we're trucking companies, if we're shippers. And so there's an economic motive. And then you have companies, Tesla and others, who are racing Toyota and spending literally billions with a B of dollars to race to the front of the line because there are potentially big, big profits here if you get to the front of the line and you developed and perfect this technology. But we are, make no mistake, as a society, as we allow this, we are, you know, specifically deciding some people are going to die, and they already have, who would not otherwise die because of malfunctions in these computer systems. They have failed. People think they just operate on GPS, but GPS is only accurate to a foot or two, and, you know, a nanosecond error in GPS throws it out of whack by many feet. Just a nanosecond of error, and they can be hacked, and there are all kinds of problems and issues.
I've even read terrorists looking at that, self-driving cars, hack into them, fill them with various explosives, and then turn them loose.
That's right. There was a movie, and I don't recall the name, with Charlize Theron, where she hacks into the system and starts making all the autonomous cars in the future go to a specific intersection and basically pile up in order to achieve some other goal. So those are the kinds of things that we really have to approach with open eyes.
Well, here's a bigger thing, too, and it's a real dilemma because, you know, I'm a fan of technology. You are, too. It makes life better, quicker, and all that. But we are coming to a point, and Tucker Carlson on Fox talks about this a lot, second to none. You mentioned jobs and long-distance trucking. Well, maybe they have to pay people more. Cutting out jobs of all these jobs that are here, that's one of the biggest, that there is skill involved, but it's a different type of skill. With robotics, you know, there is going to come a point of crunch here for millions and millions of people.
That's right. I mean, and that's yet another issue. And there are ethical issues as well. Whose life will the computer on my car be programmed to save? If you potentially can save my life during a crash by steering up on a sidewalk but putting pedestrians on that sidewalk in danger, should the autonomous vehicle do that? Should it be programmed to do that? That's an ethical issue. Mercedes and others have decided, well, we're going to put a premium on the life of the person inside the car. But that's an ethical decision. And you know, what kinds of assumptions will the robotic system make about the actions of other drivers? Early systems assumed all the other drivers would follow the traffic laws. Well, what could be wrong with that?
Hey, we're in Philadelphia. You're in Dallas. You can imagine here with that. Oh, my God. Well, Quinton, thank you. Thanks for this. Thanks for the piece, too. And where do people find you? Where's your website?
My website is Crane, C-R-A-I-N, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S.com. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Quinton. Hope to speak with you again down the line. And are you a Cowboys fan?
Absolutely. It's not easy to be one. It's a lot easier to be a Philadelphia Eagles fan. But, yeah, I'm hanging in there. I don't know why. I ask myself that sometimes.
Well, you got Jerry Jones there, and I bet he'll have the first driverless car that's functional, maybe. Thanks, Quinton.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.